This week, one company, BYD, secured a single contract to supply over 11 gigawatt hours of battery storage. That's enough to power nearly a million American homes for a day. It's for one project in one country. If you thought the energy storage market was big, this week's news suggests we're only in the opening act. What does this manufacturing scale mean for Western competitiveness? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, the energy storage landscape is being redrawn. We're not just talking about scale, but a fundamental shift in the technology itself. The race to move beyond lithium-ion is officially on, with the US, China, and Japan making major commercial moves in sodium-ion batteries. At the same time, the colossal power demands of AI are forcing data centers to completely reinvent their energy infrastructure. We'll connect the dots on who is building what, where, and what it means for your supply chain. Troy, let's start with this technology shift. For years, lithium-ion has been the undisputed king. This week, we saw a flurry of announcements around a rival, sodium-ion. What is happening?
We're witnessing the commercial breakout of sodium-ion batteries, a technology that uses abundant, low-cost sodium instead of lithium. On July 16th, Chinese giant CATL announced a partnership with Dutch firm Alfen to deploy 5 gigawatt hours of its Tenor sodium systems in Europe starting in 2027. This is a major strategic entry into the European market.
A Chinese company entering Europe is a big deal, but what's the response from the West?
It's immediate and significant. We're tracking at least 3 US-based companies accelerating commercialization. Peak Energy just announced plans for a 4 gigawatt hour per year sodium ion manufacturing facility in Sacramento, California. ESS Tech unveiled its ESS Bridge, a 1.2 megawatt hour modular system aimed at data centers, and has already secured over $1 billion in early customer interest. And Unigrid has already begun shipping its residential sodium ion system, Naakasa, in Europe.
So this is a direct competitive response. How does this affect US and European manufacturers who need this technology for their own facilities?
It creates a vital alternative supply chain. For a European automaker or a US industrial plant, reliance on Chinese lithium-ion supply chains has been a major geopolitical risk. Now they have an emerging domestic option. These sodium-ion systems, like the one from ESS Tech, also boast zero risk of thermal runaway.
Unpack thermal runaway for us. What does that mean for a factory manager?
It means they are fundamentally safer. Thermal runaway is the chemical chain reaction that causes lithium-ion batteries to catch fire. Eliminating that risk reduces insurance costs, simplifies regulatory compliance, and protects operational continuity. It's a massive advantage.
And for trading companies and distributors?
The opportunity is to build the new value chain. Western distributors should be initiating partnerships with Peak Energy, ESS Tech, and Unigrid now. There's a window to become the primary channel for these new, safer, and geopolitically stable battery systems, especially into the European industrial and residential markets.
So, the actionable insight for executives?
Task your procurement and engineering teams to begin evaluating these US and European sodium ion suppliers immediately. Run pilot projects. The goal is to diversify your energy storage portfolio away from a single chemistry, single region dependency before these new players are fully scaled and booked.
It's not just the US and China. Japan is also making a very coordinated move in this space. What did we see from them this week?
On July 13th, a consortium of 14 Japanese entities, led by Tokyo University of Science, launched a national project to commercialize sodium-ion batteries, backed by roughly 760 million yen from the government agency NEDO.
A 14-company consortium sounds less like a startup and more like a national industrial strategy.
That's precisely what it is. This is Japan Inc. mobilizing its academic, industrial, and government strength to establish mass production technology for utility-scale energy storage. They are building on foundational research from 2011 and are explicitly targeting energy security by reducing dependence on lithium, cobalt, and nickel.
How does this Japanese initiative specifically impact Western manufacturers?
It introduces a third major manufacturing bloc into the global market. For a U.S. or European firm, this will eventually mean more choice and downward pressure on prices. However, in the short term, it's a competitive threat. This consortium will likely prioritize the Japanese and Asian markets, potentially locking up regional supply chains and developing economies of scale that could later challenge Western producers.
What should our listeners in trading and distribution be watching for?
They need to identify the key corporate players within this 14-entity consortium as they emerge. The initial focus is on large systems for power companies, but this technology will cascade down to industrial and commercial applications. Building relationships early with the manufacturing arms of this consortium could provide access to a high-quality, reliable alternative to Chinese or even U.S. products in the long run.
So, what's the immediate action for an executive watching this from the U.S. or Europe?
Reevaluate your long-term technology roadmaps. If your five-year plan for factory electrification or product integration is exclusively based on lithium-ion, it's already outdated. Instruct your R&D and strategy teams to model the cost and supply implications of a tripolar battery market, China, the US, EU, and Japan, and to assess which new chemistries best fit your future products and operations.
All this new battery technology needs a customer, and it seems the biggest new customer on the planet is the AI industry. We're seeing a complete overhaul in how data centers are powered.
Correct. The sheer power demand of AI workloads is making the traditional diesel generator backup model obsolete. A July 15th report highlights this shift to battery energy storage systems, or BESS. This isn't just about being green, it's about performance and grid integration.
So what are these new systems? What are companies building?
We're seeing a range of solutions. Hitachi Energy on July 11th announced integrated grid-to-cell BESS solutions specifically for data centers, combining the grid connection, power electronics, and batteries into one guaranteed system. And we're seeing new chemistries enter the field. UK-based Super Dielectrics unveiled its Faraday 3 aqueous zinc battery. Independent tests by Quininet confirmed it has up to 13 times the cycle life of lithium-ion, and crucially, zero thermal runaway.
There's that safety angle again. A zinc-based battery sounds like a completely different animal. How would a U.S. data center operator or a European cloud provider view this?
They see it as a solution to multiple problems. First, safety. Installing a battery with no fire risk, like the Faraday 3, is a game changer for facilities with immense capital investment. Second, performance. The Faraday 3 can discharge at a 100C rate in 36 seconds, providing the instantaneous high-power backup that AI servers demand. This move to BESS turns data centers from being a drain on the grid into an asset that can provide stability services.
What should trading companies know about this specific market?
This is a specialized high-value market. Distributors focused on industrial power systems need to build expertise in these new chemistries, sodium ion, aqueous zinc, and even flow batteries. The sales cycle is complex, involving utilities, data center architects, and hyperscale operators like Google and Amazon. The opportunity is to become a technology integrator, not just a box mover.
Actionable insight for executives in the tech sector?
If you are building or leasing data center capacity, BESS is now a standard design component. You must specify your power infrastructure to do more than just provide backup. It needs to participate in demand response programs and integrate with renewables. Your CapEx and OpEx models for new data centers must be updated to reflect this shift from diesel to battery storage.
Before we summarize, you're also tracking some developments that are a bit earlier stage, but could be the next big disruption. What's on the horizon?
Two key areas. First, lithium-sulfur chemistry, which has a theoretical energy density 5 times higher than lithium-ion. A team at Chongqing University in China just developed a 2.22 amp-hour lithium-sulfur pouch cell that achieved stable performance for over 1,000 cycles. This is a significant step toward practical application.
Higher energy density means lighter batteries or longer runtimes. That's huge for everything from EVs to electronics.
Exactly. The second area is in manufacturing process innovation. Researchers at Argonne National Laboratory in the U.S. found that a high-speed mixing technique, blending materials at 2,000 RPM for 5 hours, dramatically improves the performance of all solid-state lithium-sulfur batteries. Their test battery retained over 80% performance after 450 cycles.
So this isn't a new material, but a new way of making the battery. Why is that important for manufacturers?
It means performance gains can come from process engineering, not just exotic, expensive materials. For U.S. and European companies, mastering advanced manufacturing techniques like this could be a key competitive advantage, allowing them to produce next-generation batteries more efficiently and leapfrog competitors who are focused solely on chemistry. It's an IP race in both materials and methods.
What should executives be thinking about now, based on this?
They should encourage their R&D teams to look beyond pure material science, invest in process innovation and advanced manufacturing R&D. The next breakthrough that gives your product a competitive edge might not be a new element, but a new way of putting the battery together.
Okay, Troy, a lot of movement this week. Let's distill it down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners in the U.S. and Europe?
First, the sodium-ion battery market is here now, and it's creating a new parallel supply chain independent of lithium. The commercial moves by CATL in Europe and the ramp-up of U.S. players like Peak Energy and ESS Tech mean you can and should begin sourcing and testing these alternatives to mitigate geopolitical risk. Second, the power demands of AI are forcing a revolution in industrial energy infrastructure. Data centers are the leading edge, but the shift from diesel backups to integrated battery systems that support the grid will come to manufacturing facilities next. Your energy strategy is now a core part of your operational technology strategy. And third, watch the national industrial policies. The Japanese consortium is a clear signal that governments are actively shaping the future of energy storage. The U.S. Inflation Reduction Act is fueling domestic manufacturing from companies like Fluence and Tyfast. Executives must align their supply chain and investment strategies with these powerful national tailwinds.
In short, diversify your battery chemistry, integrate your energy systems, and follow the public-private money.
Precisely.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. The pace of change in energy technology is accelerating, and staying ahead of these shifts is critical for maintaining a competitive edge. We'll be here next week to track the developments that matter most to your business.
Thank you for joining us.
Subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence on your favorite podcast platform to make sure you never miss a briefing. Until next time, I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.